Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, baby birds encounter a wax fang. No animals were harmed in the recording of this episode. It is Thursday of Forecastle Interview Week 2. I'm Jim Lenihan. You're listening to Rockin' the Suburbs, a podcast about music. My co-host, Patrick Foster, is on vacation. He'll be back next week. In the meantime, I'm going to play for you an interview I conducted in Louisville, Kentucky, with a musician named Scott Carney. He is in the band Wax Fang out of Louisville. They are recording artists and touring artists, and they do some really eclectic music. I think as Scott describes it, it's rock, first and foremost, but mixed in with some psychedelic elements and some art rock and just some really experimental, exploratory kind of stuff. So I think it's something our listeners would really enjoy, and if nothing else, you're really going to enjoy this conversation because Scott is a smart and thoughtful guy. One other thing too, they recorded one of their albums, you're going to hear about this, at Ardent Studios, the famous studio in Memphis, Tennessee, that produced a lot of great music. And there's also some talk about the theremin. All right, have I teased this well enough for you? Wax Fang's latest album is called Victory Laps, and it came out last year. And let's hear now from Scott Carney. So I'm here with Scott Carney from Wax Fang. Thank you.
Hello.
Thanks for joining, I meant to say. And Scott, your band played yesterday at Forecastle. We're not currently at Forecastle. We are out on the front porch of a house that I'm renting for the week in Louisville. And so listeners might hear some cars go by, some birds chirping, things like that. Yeah. But I think this is quite pleasant, a little bit cooler than on the festival grounds.
Yes, definitely cooler. It's a scorcher down there.
We also have an audience, just so you know, if you can see that nest up there, baby birds, right there on the front porch.
Very nice.
Baby robins, three of them in there.
An angry mother bird does not come back. And
She comes around, but she's fine with us sitting out here.
Cool.
So no cause for alarm. So, okay, so Scott, as I mentioned, Wax Fang played yesterday at Forecastle, and have you been able to rehydrate since then?
Yes, I have. Rehydration started before the set. So actually, I've just been pounding water all week. It's been so hot here. It's just been a hot summer. And so I've been pounding water and did that all day yesterday. And even though I drank quite a bit of beer after the show, I feel great now.
Okay, very good. There we go. Wow. Bird feeding happening right there.
That's amazing. I don't know when the last time I watched a baby bird being fed 10 feet away from me.
Glorious nature, yes. So let's talk about Wax Fang. First of all, real quick, I want to give a shout out to Randall Brown. Randall is one of our faithful listeners, and he and his band, Court Jar, out of Knoxville, Tennessee, they did the theme song for our show.
Very cool.
He's a big fan of Wax Fang, and he mentioned your latest album, Victory Laps, when we were doing sort of a roundup of some of our favorite albums of 2017, and that was one of his picks. So,
very cool.
Randall, we now have Scott on the show.
So. Thank you, Randall.
Now, the first thing I want to mention is that, you know, I used to live in Louisville, and I have a copy of a CD in my collection called Black and Endless Night.
Yes.
But it's credited to Scott Carney, mm-hmm. not to Wax Fang.
Yes.
But later, it was credited to Wax Fang, right? So how did that work out?
We pulled a switcheroo. That's how that worked. So I had produced and performed and recorded that album by myself and had it mixed. And during that mixing session is when I would meet my future bandmate, Kevin Ratterman, mm-hmm. Who mixed that record. He went on to play drums for what became Wax Fang. And so when we did the original pressing of the CDs, we were still playing under the name Scott Carney and Heavy Friends, which was always supposed to be a temporary name that I just straight up lifted from a British musician who had the name Screaming Lord Sutch and his Heavy Friends. So we released it under Scott Carney because we didn't want to have the Heavy Friends as, you know, for posterity's sake. And then when we decided to change the band's name to Wax Fang and we did a second pressing of the CD, it just made sense to include it in the catalog because we performed so much of that material live.
Okay. So what I have is a real artifact, like a real relic, right?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, it could be worth like $10 someday.
I'm going to hang on to it.
Yeah. For that.
Your second album, La La Land?
Yes.
You recorded that at Arden Studios, right?
We did.
Mm-hmm. So I've been to Arden Studios, talked with Jody Stevens there.
Wow, yeah.
And it's
wonderful
a
studio.
It's a fabulous studio. I feel like every record should be recorded at Arden Studios.
I know. It's so amazing. I mean, it's the one true magical studio experience that I've had and the only place that I've really set foot in that comes close to Arden. And the magic and the vibe that it has there is my friend Kevin Ratterman's studio, aptly named La La Land. Here in Louisville, Kentucky. Uh-huh. So if you have a chance to visit that at any point,
cool.
You should definitely step in there. But Arden is a very special place with, it's just rich with musical history. Everyone from Cat Power to ZZ Top to, what were they called? That beloved Memphis rock band with...
Are you talking about Big Star?
I'm talking about Big Star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people don't know. So Arden is in Memphis and really became sort of legendary because it was Big Star's studio and as Big Star's acclaim grew over the years, it just became this place.
I think Jody was in Big Star, was he not?
Right, he was the drummer. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he showed us, when we went there, he showed us the actual drum set from those sessions that he played that's like still set up in one of the studios. Like,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, it's a fantastic place. I mean... If I had the budget, I would record every album there.
Well, how do you think recording there influenced the work?
You know, for what we wanted to do with our sound, it just took everything up in terms of production, took everything up several notches compared to what we were able to do. Again, our drummer at the time, Kevin, was a recording engineer and had a studio here in Louisville, but we wanted to go out of town to work. So we could be more focused, and we got a great deal on that place. We were fortunate enough to have Doug Easley of Easley Studios fame, who's recorded Sonic Youth and a number of other kind of like 90s alt rock bands. He was kind of engineering and co-producing the sessions. We were able to record everything on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So it just took, you know, for what we had in mind, we were able to achieve the sonic quality of what we wanted with that. It just, the drums sound amazing. We did a number of the guitars. We had lots of guitar amps. We had a whole wall of amps at one point, which is very nice as a guitar player to have that many options.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, as Wax Fang has progressed, your sound has gotten sort of bigger and bolder and mm-hmm. more orchestral in many ways.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you striving for?
I don't really know. I think if I had one goal, it's to try to not write the same song twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that that's something that you see in the sort of dynamic songwriting of our band, for better or for worse. It's more fun for me as a writer and a performer to have songs that are all, you know, that can be quite different at times. I could also see how it could be very confusing for people, particularly when asked to describe what our band is.
Yeah.
It's really perplexing to a lot of people. I always just say that we're just a rock and roll band.
Right. That's what I think.
You know, with psychedelic ties to psychedelic music and punk and classic rock. And, you know, I like a lot of different types of music. I don't want to just do the same thing over and over again. I don't necessarily want to like completely reinvent ourselves the way someone like maybe David Bowie would, from one record to the next or mm-hmm. from one era to the next. But I think as an artist, it's important to evolve. Unless you are lucky enough to hit the sort of like rock band lottery and conjuring up some perfect formula that works so well that you can just repeat it ad infinitum, such as, you know, like AC/DC or even Guided by Voices.
Right.
You know, two bands with like vast catalogs, and you know, all of their songs live in the same kind of world, more or less, and share the same arrangement, and they really just don't, you know, stray too far from what they have going on, and they're extremely successful. If I, you know, were to come up with something like that, I might explore that, but until then, it's just more fun for me to just kind of follow my whims as far as they'll take me and see what happens. And at the end of the day, I just have, you know, if I feel good about the song and it turns out well on a recording, I feel like it's safe to include in the Wax Fang catalog.
Okay.
And I have plenty that haven't made it that far. But yeah, they do end up being quite different. Obviously, Black and Endless Night and The Astronaut are extremely different. Our newest record coming out of the, you know, if you listen to our music chronologically, it might make more sense.
Right.
But if you jump from like Black and Endless Night to The Astronaut or even Victory Laps, you might be surprised at what you find.
But you also have like on Victory Laps, you have some like just, you know, kind of like straight on rockers and things like that too, right? So
yeah, we're a rock band first and foremost.
Yeah. I once heard what I thought was a really good description of the Replacements album, Let It Be, which was it was described as if somebody made for you a great mixtape, but it's all the same band.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of get that same feeling listening to Wax Fang.
Yeah, and it's funny, our last record, Victory Laps, was, we very much had that in mind, that we wanted it to have kind of a mixtape feel. All the songs on that are very different. You know, the first song's kind of a electric, you know, kind of like electronic rock song. Uh-huh. There's hardly any guitars in it. The second song is guitar blast. And then the third song is like a very kind of almost pastoral sort of piano piece sung in falsetto. So we did very much have that in mind for that album. Can't for the other ones, not so much, but
yeah. Okay. How many instruments do you play?
Well, I started on guitar. I guess I've always sang. So that's one. I started playing guitar around 12, picked up bass guitar and drums a few years later, picked up piano and keyboards in my 20s, I guess percussion and things related to percussion and piano. I just count those as one thing. So mm-hmm. maybe a half dozen or so. I mean, if you were to count each individual one, like maracas.
right.
Or a tambourine, you know, we'd probably be in the double digits, but I'd say about a half dozen instruments, you know, instruments or instrument families.
So when I talked earlier about some of the ambition in your songwriting and recording and performing, that must really help, right? To have that range of knowledge of the instruments themselves.
It does. Yeah. You know, it's a blessing and a curse. Because it's easy to get distracted.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, as I get older, it's also more difficult to keep my chops up on everything. So sometimes if I'm like, if I needed to go play drums for a gig next weekend, I would be a bit out of shape to do so. But it, you know, as far as like songwriting, it is great because, you know, it's like lighting a fire, basically. You're just trying to get that spark of creativity. And then from that, you can turn it into something, and it always doesn't come when I'm just sitting around noodling on guitar. Mm-hmm. So I can hop over to the piano. I have a lot of ideas when I'm playing drums because I'm hearing a bass line with my kick pattern. Mm-hmm. And then I can lay down some kind of bass line on like a loop pedal, play along to it, and then I've got like a part of a song, and then I can kind of take it from there. So it does help to keep momentum going, or it can, but it can also just be distracting when I'm just sitting around jerking off on the guitar for no reason whatsoever.
Now, you left out theremin.
I did, yes. So there's that too.
How did you learn?
But here's the thing, okay. Is I don't profess to play the theremin.
Okay.
Because I don't really know how to play it. I try to be clear about this with people because people think I play the theremin, and I just really it's just a noise maker for me. There are people who have taken the time to learn how to play it to pitch and can play melodies on it, but it seems very complicated, and it's really fun to watch people do it. And I've thought maybe about getting, because the theremins I have are just cheap theremins. Uh-huh. They don't have the volume bar that a nicer orchestral level theremin might have. So I have thought about it from time to time if I ever find myself with a couple $100 to buy a nice Moog Etherwave and learn how to play it. That would be fun, but I haven't done it yet.
It seems like it takes a lot of time to learn something that you can probably only use in small doses anyway. You know, there's only so much
exactly.
theremin anyone really wants to listen to.
Yeah, so, I mean, there might be a way nowadays that you could use it as a controller for a synthesizer in new and interesting ways, because some of the newer theremins that are coming out are like MIDI compatible. But as in and of itself, it's a novelty for sure. It's got kind of like one sound that everyone identifies with it, which is
yep.
That's the science fiction thing. Noise. Yep. Good vibrations, right. Absolutely. And it is, you know, it is quite capable of doing more when you run it through like guitar effects pedals and things like okay. that. You can get some different timbres out of it that are really interesting. But yeah, it seems like when you play it, like the margin of error is like really narrow. So it would be nerve wracking to try to perform anything with it live for me. But that is, it's on the list of things I'd like to do.
Okay.
Given the time.
So we should not expect the next Wax Fang record to be theremin based.
No, you should not. Okay. But it may feature the theremin okay. because, oddly enough, it doesn't make it onto enough recordings.
Okay, thanks, Scott. It was fun hanging out with you on the front porch of the house, watching the birds get fed, all of that. Good times. Great conversation, and so great that we're going to pick it up again tomorrow. So tomorrow you're going to hear part two of the interview with Scott Carney from Wax Fang. I know you're going to listen because you're listening every day. You can find our show on all the big podcast platforms. Please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. If you like Wax Fang, if you like any of the bands I've talked to these last couple of weeks, or, you know, maybe you even just like music, you can email us rock@suburbspod.com and send us your thoughts. We read correspondence on episodes from time to time, or you can call and leave a voice message, 612-440-1984. We like to play the voice messages on shows too, or you can interact with us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Another shout out to Randall Brown and Court Jar for providing our theme music. If you like that, you'll probably like their other music. If you like Wax Fang, you'll probably like Court Jar. Similar kind of vibe. You can find their music at courtjar42.com. Courtjar42.com. Okay, let's get out of here. Let's move on to day two with Scott Carney of Wax Fang. I'm Jim Linehan. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. Talk to you tomorrow. And beside that, I don't know, maybe it's just in the water.